Hey everybody, welcome to the USA. Got a big show today. I might get mad for a minute, and then hopefully we'll get to do something fun. Hopefully I won't have to be mad for so long that it doesn't end.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that life to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Right now I'm looking at an amazing picture of an outline of the United States with a glittering eagle. And the whole thing, it's crazy. And a bunch of pictures of the Twin Towers. I wanted to start with this song because I saw some amazing ads before I started this, and I'm sure you've been seeing these ads as well. First, I actually saw a Walmart ad for Walmart To Go, which is a service where you can get delivery Walmart, I guess. Which, the ad itself was kind of amazing because basically this guy said, "There's no fucking way I'm going to Walmart. Fuck it, I'm done. I'm never going there again." So what was I to do? Well, they have this thing now, so I don't goddamn have to, which, thank Christ, you know, it seemed very explicit, and I thought, good for you, Walmart. Like, at least someone there in their ad department, in their marketing department, which we're about to talk about marketing and the evils of it, someone there was like, look, I think we can sell this service to people who are like, I can't fucking stand that place because it's a goddamn zoo. Let's just come out and say it before they do. Let's say it, and then they'll have no choice. But the rest of the ads I saw, let's move on. The rest of the ads I saw were for some politicians. Oh my fucking God. Oh my fucking God. Now, can I tell you something embarrassing about that Lee Greenwood song we just heard? I remember the first time I heard that. I was at the baseball game, and they were doing the fireworks, and they put up this big flag, and, you know, brought a tear to my little eye, because I was like, America is great. And, you know, it's hard to deny that America's great when you're in that, when you're like, oh, look, there's baseball, there's fireworks, I ate a huge hot dog. This is great. I agree. Now, granted, I hadn't been anywhere else, nor really thought about living anywhere else. But, you know, all I really knew of Europe was an American tale and was like, well, fuck that place. That looks like shit. That looks terrible. And then the rest of the world, I had no idea. And I feel like this is the kind of manipulation that I'm very upset about. I mean, let's talk about political ads. How the fuck is this legal? How is it legal to do this? I mean, number one, how is it legal? But more to the point, how the fuck do these people who come up with this bullshit live with themselves? Like, how do they go, when you're at a party and you make these political ads, and I'm not talking about one side or the other, okay? I am very upset and disappointed with all politicians on all sides of every coin. Because here's all I get all day, is just Cory Gardner cruises schools and fucks boys, you know, and then it's like, vote Mark Udall. And then it's like, Mark Udall killed your grandma, and then he had sex with her eye sockets while the eyes were still in it. Do you want a hard dick ramming your grandma's eye sockets? No? Then you better vote for... And it's just like, this is insane. It is insane, the depth and the depravity of what they say. It's insane how far they go. It's insane how many fucking times they say the message. It's insane that this is allowed where, you know, all you have to do as a politician, they're like, oh, well, we don't want to do this stuff. I don't run a dirty campaign. But, you know, I have these ads and I say, I'm so-and-so and I approve this message. And then they say whatever the fuck they want. So if they want to say that, you know, Mark Udall blew up the Twin Towers or Cory Gardner was doing a 69 with Osama bin Laden when the towers came, like, that's fine. That's not, how was I supposed to know they would do that? I'm not, I don't control that. Fuck you. Yes, you do. And what bothers me about it, I guess, and this is why I don't vote, okay? This is why I don't vote. I do not vote for two basic reasons. Number one, I don't like either person because I feel like rather than telling us what they're going to do or doing good shit, they're spending a lot of their fucking time telling us someone else is a shithead. And you can argue that, you know, oh, well, if this guy starts it, what choice does this guy have to pick up the torch? Well, he has the torch. He has the option to be a fucking human being and to be an adult about it and to tell that guy, hey, I saw your negative ads. Go fuck yourself, but I'm not doing it. Okay? I am mad about it. I am going to say go fuck yourself, but I'm not going to do the negative ads because that's a waste of my time and money. I don't give a shit. And anyone who's dumb enough to believe an ad that you put up about me, you know, this is what's crazy. I mean, we don't allow this shit, right? Do we allow Burger King to put up an ad that's like, does McDonald's get their beef from human baby flesh, from aborted flesh? We're not saying, you know, just saying. That's the theme. I was like, if I came up with a political campaign for someone, it would be called Just Saying. And it would just go on and on like that. I've never seen Cory Gardner and Osama bin Laden in the same place. Just saying. Mark Udall is in office. And since then, think about all the friends you've had who died. Just saying. Like, who the fuck? You can just say things, and as long as they're not explicitly untrue, then it's fine. You know, and it's just total bullshit manipulation. And that's what pisses me off and why I can't vote. Because not one person can come out and just fucking say, hey, here's what I do. Here's what I'm about. Yeah. That's the basic issue. And let's just talk about it in the context of the second issue, which is goddamn abortion. Again, I live in Colorado, which makes some great decisions and makes some terrible decisions. And one of the terrible decisions they make over and over is the Personhood Amendment. What is the Personhood Amendment? Basically, it's, you know, these right-to-lifers trying to get rid of abortion. They'll say it's this or that, but honestly, that's what it is. Here's what bothers me about it. I think everyone's got the right to try and change the law. I think that, of course, because the law is not going to stay the same and be great forever because our society changes and things change. You know, it's a good thing that women can vote. It's a good thing that there's not a literacy test when you vote, like all this bullshit that goes away. So things do have to change. But I want to say this. I do think that when you try to pass a law like personhood, which based on my limited understanding of it is directly in conflict with Roe v. Wade, which is a Supreme Court decision, when you try to subvert that for the third fucking time in, you know, 5 or 6 years or whatever, like, give it a rest. I think it's okay at some point to tell people, hey, we tried it, it's done, you know, come back in 10 years. Or, here's my point, because it's obvious what's going on with an amendment like personhood. This is turning into real hot talk, political talk, huh? To me, it's obvious what's going on with personhood, and it's this. They are just going to keep doing it until by some reason it passes. For no real reason, it'll pass. Because people like me won't go out and vote. And I think what they're counting on is that people like me won't go out and vote. Now, I agree that that seems like a good reason to vote. I do agree with that. However, I think, again, it's just another flawed piece of the system. I don't think I should have to express over and over how upsetting I find that entire idea. How in favor of right to life, can I not just cast a vote and just say anything that's against right to life, I am not no. And I'll let you know if I change my mind. But in the meantime, any right to life issue, I'm in favor of choice. That is me. Call me pro-abortion, call me pro-whatever. That's where I sit. I make no bones about that. I don't give a fuck. All right? It just, it makes me so upset because I feel like what they're doing is they're just going to keep ramming it at us until they win. But instead, I think the way it should go is like, all right, you guys have fucking failed miserably like two or three times now. Until you can come up with some kind of compelling evidence that it's going to go another way. Until you can say like, well, we've changed our bill significantly to address these issues. You know, this is serious now. This is for real. Until that happens, go fuck yourself with your stupid bill, okay? And quit telling me all this horseshit. And let me tell you something else why I'm disappointed in politics. I'm disappointed in the pro-choice people as well. Because you know what argument the pro-choice people trot out every time? He's against abortion, even in the case of rape. Even in the case of rape. That's the line you hear over and over and over. Hey, guess what? That's a horrible scenario. I definitely agree that someone should have the option in that scenario, but I think they should have the option in every scenario. And I think that if you are a pro-choice person, you should have the fucking guts to say so. You shouldn't have to rely on that of like, well, I'm going to rely on the heartache and terribleness of, you know, the terribility of the worst crime ever. The most sort of disempowering, disheartening, difficult thing, that's what I'm going to rely on. No. You know what? No. You shouldn't have to rely on anything other than to say, hey, people make a fucking choice. People can make their own goddamn choice. Okay? You're not defending a hopeless baby. You are defending cells. It is cells. And furthermore, I'm sorry, but like scientists are not having a problem understanding when a baby is a baby. They have no problem saying, well, it doesn't have a fucking brain, okay? You'll notice that they always say, oh, well, your baby has a heartbeat at this time, and it has this and that, and it's like, yeah, so fucking what? There was a chicken that lived for, like, weeks with no goddamn head, Mike the Headless Chicken. Do you think that's, like, a miracle, or do you think that's a horrible oddity? You tell me. And, you know, and they fight this shit. They fight, like, the, you know, the morning after pill is, like, a debate. I don't know why this is a fucking debate. I don't know why birth control is a goddamn debate. And they always try and say, like, oh, that's like having an abortion. It is not. Okay? I think science has agreed that when gametes meet, that is conception. Not before. If I jack off on someone's stomach, there is no baby there. Now, if you feel, as a religious person, that conception happens at sex, which I think is kind of what they're saying, or it seems to be that they don't want people to have sex without the possibility of having a baby. And if that's what you fucking believe, just say it. Quit fucking around and hiding behind bullshit and just say what you think. I will respect you a lot more if you just say, I don't want people to have sex because that upsets me. And then, I mean, I'll still think you're a goddamn idiot, but I'll be like, well, at least you have the goddamn guts to say what you're thinking. At least you have the guts to say, I think it's a problem that people are having this much sex when they're 17. And I could say, well, I don't agree with that. I didn't really have a lot of sex when I was 17. One might even say I had none sex when I was 17. But if that's what you're saying and you fucking say it, then at least we're talking about the same thing. At least now you and I are having the same discussion. Because the way it works right now, I'm having the discussion of science, of these things haven't met, so it's not an abortion. And you're having the discussion of, I don't want people to have sex. And we're trying to have that on the same terms, and it's not the same. It's not the fucking same. We're just wasting everyone's time. So, I got some mail. I have some mail here. These are like huge election flyers. These are 8.5 by 11 flyers. And I just wanted to read some of them to you. Here's one. This shows a girl in a tutu looking sad. Daddy lost his job, and now I can't take ballerina lessons. Thanks, Dave Young. What the fuck? I mean, what the fuck? Okay? Let me tell you something, child. If you can't take ballerina lessons because your dad lost his job, I mean, if your dad lost his job, your ballerina lessons are the least of your fucking problems right now. Believe me. Believe me. And this whole flyer is like hot pink and black and stuff. It looks like a rejected thing from goddamn Victoria's Secret. All right, let's see what this has. If Bob Beaupre is governor, get ready for a real battle over birth control, clearly made by the same company because it used the exact same color scheme. And, you know, they found the most evil-looking picture of this person. And it's like, the only way to stop him from taking away birth control is to vote against him now. And it's got this woman on it with her arms crossed, like, fuck you, I'm not giving up my birth control. And, you know, this doesn't tell you anything. This doesn't tell you anything. What else do we have? Don't let our education dollars go to Denver. And it's got a shitty Photoshop picture of a school bus full of dollars, and the $100 bills are flapping out the window. Dave Young is sending Denver schools our tax money. Oh, God. See, and this is why marketers are so fucking dumb. Okay? Who is this baby in a tutu? Who is this targeted at? Because if I lost my job, and this is what their point is like, your daughter is not going to get to take ballet, I'd be like, you don't really understand home economics at all. I'm not really, don't call me a shitty dad, but I'm not really fucking worried. That's not my number one worry right now, okay? I'm worried because now she has to go to school in a goddamn tutu because I can't buy her any fucking clothes. And she's going to, you know, fit right into that eating disorder ballet culture because I'm not going to be able to buy her any fucking food either. So, yeah, I'm pretty worried, and I'm a little upset that you're saying this. I mean, is this for five-year-old girls who are voting illegally? Is that precocious five-year-old girls who are voting? You know, or like the marketing idea of like, yeah, our state sends tax dollars to Denver. This is like part of what bothers me, too. Everything becomes about like small town, small town. Oh, we're a small town. We don't want our tax dollars going to debt. You realize these people are 1 hour away, and there's a good chance you're going to encounter a lot of these people in your life. And if some of your money goes to educating a child who lives one goddamn hour away, I think that's to your benefit. You know, I don't want to be crazy and say, oh, maybe educating a child somewhere else in the world, as the world gets smaller and smaller via planes and internet and whatnot, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe you educate one kid, and then he doesn't spend the rest of his life calling people faggot on YouTube all day. Maybe that's a crazy idea, but I think it might be worth a couple bucks. To me, it's worth it. Okay, if someone could come up with a better ad campaign than like, this guy's giving money to schools. That's the other thing that's so stupid about this shit. They're like, wait a minute, this guy's giving money to education. That's what I read from here. They're like, oh, you know, and it says, oh my God, they spent this much more in Denver on school. Yeah, there's like 10 times as many fucking kids there. No shit. No fucking shit. Not to mention, you know, our schools suck. What are you going to do? What do we have here? This one's just a picture of like a little baby drinking from a straw in a glass that says, warning, may contain mercury. Cory Gardner voted repeatedly to put our drinking water and our families' health at risk. And it's just like, it doesn't really explain anything. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I think it's probably bullshit. I just don't understand. There's like this dumb baby who's wearing a necklace, by the way. I don't think a baby should wear a necklace. That seems dangerous. This is one of my favorites. So here's one for Isaiah Arakios, I guess, who Northern Colorado needs a fresh new voice to stand against Denver. See, I don't understand, like, everyone's like, oh, fuck Denver. Denver sucks. Denver doesn't suck. Not to mention, I'm sure there's a decent number of people who commute from here to Denver to goddamn work. Like, what kind of campaign is that? That is a stupid campaign. Oh, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to capture the vote of people who really hate Denver, but chose to live, you know, less than an hour away. Like, why would you do that? Now, here's the thing I would like to do as mayor. If I was the mayor, you know, I always have these eccentric mayor/millionaire ideas. My newest one, every city declares like a sister city, right? Like they go, oh, this crazy city you've never heard of and will never see in China is your sister city. I would like to declare an enemy city. I think that's a lot more fun. You know, if you have an enemy city, that's something to rally behind. And here's what we got to do too, I think. We have to pick a city that's well known compared to us. Like, you can't just, we can't pick on, you know, Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Because everyone's going to say, well, they have Dollywood. They're better than you. And also, that just makes you look like a shithead. But if we start a beef, it's like a rapper. When you're a rapper, you don't start a beef with some rapper no one's ever heard of. You start a beef with 50 Cent. That's the whole point. You know, and then half the people who just hate 50 Cent will be like, yeah, you're right. I'm going to go on your side. Now, that's how these politicians are acting, too. And I know I'm sort of saying that I would like to do what they do and sort of saying how shitty their policies are. But here's the thing. I'm pretty much joking around. I'm like, this wouldn't this be fucking crazy if we did that? They're doing the thing that I'm saying is crazy. Like, this is their plan. This is their career plan, is to do the thing that I'm saying as a joke is fucking nuts. So I've got this thing for the new voice against Denver, Isaiah Arkayos, and it's a picture of him, you know, and he's got a pen. It's a click pen where the point is not out, so he's obviously not working that hard. And then you go to the next one, and it's one against Isaiah Arkayos, and it's a fake newspaper, and it says, House Candidate Blunders Again. And it's the fakest, shittiest looking newspaper ever, and it uses the same picture from the other ad. What the fuck? It makes no goddamn sense. Let's see. Someone needs to repeat science class, and it shows a kid with crazy looking glasses, you know, like he just blew up some chemistry. He's probably cooking meth. Oh, Cory Gardner is denying climate change science. Yeah, okay. This is another thing that pisses me off. Okay, we've got this abortion issue that won't go away, even though it's like, look, we have the science now. We know the truth. We know what the science is. Have your religion. Make your choice. You know how, like, the country... This is going to get real Lee Greenwood here. This country was founded on the idea that people could make their own fucking choice about their own wacky, stupid religion, right? That was part of the idea. You know, they could come over here and be like, hey, I'm going to be Quaker. And it's like, well, all right, weirdo. Have fun. Well, guess what? You have to listen to science. You can still do your wacky religion. And when someone has a pro-choice agenda, what they're saying is, hey, if your religion forbids you from getting an abortion, you don't have to get one. Choice. The word is choice, okay? Not pro make you have an abortion. I'm not making anybody have an abortion. Do I think everyone should have a fucking choice? Fuck yeah. Do I really care what your motives are behind your choice? Am I going to ask you to explain yourself for not getting an abortion? No, I'm not. And all you have to do if you're not getting an abortion is not go somewhere. It's not like if you don't get an abortion, you have to go to Planned Parenthood and sign a sheet that's like, I'm aware of abortion and I'm not getting it. You still have the choice. You still have the ability to make the same fucking decision that you would make based on your stupid religion. Okay? All I'm asking for is that you keep it equal. That you give everyone else the same choice. Oh, God, I have one last one. But you know what? I just don't care. Cory Gardner might seem like a nice guy, but his real views are wrong for Colorado. Like, who cares? I'm tired of that bullshit, too, where people are like, well, people vote for whoever they want to have a beer with. Well, people who do that are fucking stupid, okay? If you vote for the person you want to have a beer with, you're an idiot. Because let me tell you something. That means to me you've never had, like, a real job and a boss. Because the best bosses I've ever had aren't necessarily the people I would want to have a beer with. Sure. Would it be great to have a boss who I'm like, oh my God, you know, she likes to go out, party, hang out with everybody. It's fun. Sure. That's great. Is it good to have a boss who you're like, you know what? My boss is reliable. I trust her. She makes good decisions. Yeah, that's fine. And when it's a politician, that's fine. I don't actually care if they're a nice guy. And here's the difference. My boss is someone I will actually talk to every day. My senator is someone I will never see or speak to. Even if I wanted to go out with a beer for him, I can't, and I won't. So maybe voting on something that will never happen is foolish compared to the idea of voting something that absolutely will happen, namely, they will be making political decisions. I mean, why is this so fucking difficult to understand? Why is it so hard? Why are people intimidated to vote for someone who they're like, I think this person might be smarter than me? And how come I feel like I never really get that option? I don't think of myself as a smart man, But Jesus fucking Christ, I think I'm smarter than like a Mitt Romney. I do. I think that when I'm Mitt Romney's age, I would be a better candidate than him. You know, despite all this crazy shit I've said on the radio. Because I would hope that people who vote would be goddamn educated enough to say, oh, he runs like a comedy talk podcast 25 fucking years ago and said the kind of things that a crazy 30-year-old would say when drunk. All right. That's all I have to say about politics. I know it's a lot. I know some people are probably disappointed that I won't vote. But I don't believe in the process. I don't believe in endorsing a candidate that I don't believe in just to get rid of a candidate that I even more don't believe in. And I feel, and this is probably the most questionable of my logics, but I feel like people are bringing up these stupid same fucking issues again and kind of forcing people to vote. And I would rather just not vote. And if personhood passes, then I don't know. Start a taxi service to take people to goddamn Wyoming to get their abortions. How about that? One weekend a month, I'll drive people up to Cheyenne. I'll just put a thing on Craigslist, like, need an abortion? I'll give you a ride. There you go. You know, I'll have some soothing music. Not too sad, not like some Bon Iver and shit, but, you know, just something relaxing. I'll have blankets. I don't know. I don't know what someone needs post-abortion, but I'll have that shit. I'll give you a goddamn ride. There you go. Political show over. Sort of. I bought this game. I bought a game at the game store because, you know, there have been a lot of issues of feminism and whatnot on the internet, which has prompted me to kind of quit Facebook. I mean, I haven't quit. I haven't deleted the app, but I'm going to try and not sign into it for the week and see how that goes. Because it's awful. You know, I don't understand the level of discourse. I did get a glimpse of, you know, so we have this video. If you haven't seen this, it's a 10-hour film thing. It's this woman walking through Manhattan for 10 hours and being filmed as she's being catcalled. For some reason, catcalling is like the big thing right now. I don't know what it is. I mean, okay, let me just quickly say, I've never catcalled, I don't think. If it's possible, and if I did catcall, it's when I was like fucking 13, and it was under the umbrella of mischief, and I don't endorse it today. I apologize, and you know, I fucking cried at the Lee Greenwood song too. I was a mess. I didn't know what I was. I didn't know who or what I was, but you know, I'm not a catcaller. I don't endorse it. I don't hang out with people who do that. Nothing like that. Okay. It's not a thing for me. It's not in my life. Now, that said, I did have some issues with this video, I guess. Well, here's the issue. Here's the only real issue I had. I do think catcalling is a problem. I do think that there is a purpose to narrative. What I don't like is a video like this. I encourage you to watch the video and watch it with a critical eye, though, because it's hard to talk about these things because I feel like as a white male who's age 30, people don't really want to hear what I have to say about it. And if you don't, that's fucking fine. You know, we're like a half hour into a podcast that you willingly downloaded. You could just turn it off. But I will say this. I think the idea that, you know, shut the fuck up, you're a white guy, you have all the privilege, is not a good stance for any cause because basically, if that's your premise, I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think I know anybody who's... I'm pretty broke. I mean, I am not rich. I am not a power player in any kind of scene. I'm not a decision maker. Okay? I'm not shaping the world in any of those sort of big businessy ways. And I do think that that stuff is going to go away. You know, I think that the white man is still in power. When you view things like, you know, well, this number of CEOs are white and male. But I think that is going to go away, thanks to a lot of hard work. You know, not on my part, but other people's part. Here's the thing, though. I think if you just sort of discount the white male opinion, but you also feel like that's the most powerful majority of people, what you're kind of saying is like, well, we're going to try and make a change and we're going to do it without the biggest power block. And I think that's unwise. I just think that's not a good idea. I don't think that's the right thing to do. To discount an opinion because you feel like, well, they're the majority, so what the fuck do they know about minority issues? And like, I want to know. I want to learn. I watched the video. So it's hard to critique because I do feel like I'm very aware of who I am and what I'm saying when I critique it. Okay? I'm just going to say that. What I don't like, and it's not actually specific to this video, it's kind of like in the vein of this video and other things of its type. I think that what we have on the internet and why Facebook is driving me crazy is narrative posing as science. Okay? Because what they'll do is they'll say 10 hours, X number of catcalls, so on and so forth. You know, so they put the numbers in there. They have it all planned out. They make a point to say that there were different races, all that kind of shit. Which to me is like, okay, so you're trying to prove a point. And your point is that this is a problem. This is really happening. And I agree with that point. However, I have to question when you tell me you took 10 hours of video and you're showing me 2 minutes of video. Because, you know, do the math on that. You're seeing 1/3 of 1% of the total footage. Like, that is a very low percent. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that that means the footage isn't valid. And I'm not saying that catcalling is not a problem. Because I understand that a catcall that maybe takes seconds can have lasting rippling effects. What I am saying is I think that it's responsible to view something like that and say, I'm being showed 1/3 of 1% and I have a problem with that. I want to see the whole story. Now, I know it makes it a very far less powerful narrative when you show, because if you were realistic, what would happen is you would have a 2-minute video and the proportion would be 1/2 second of catcalling and, you know, 1 minute, 59.5 seconds of walking with nothing happening. That would be proportional. That's the truth of what happened. But, you know, they're putting together a narrative, and I am okay with that. I think that's good. I think that's important. But I think that we should stop pretending like this is, you know, there. This is science-y. That just makes me crazy. It also is very unscientific because, and like, I'm treading dangerous water, but I just feel like, fuck it. This is my goddamn show. I'll say whatever the hell I want. I think it's just bizarre that right now we live in a world where someone, I mean, okay, they set out to film this woman being catcalled, right? And then she's catcalled. And then we're outraged. I don't actually know what that means to me, I guess. I don't know why that itches at me. And I completely understand that the catcallers could not have possibly known that this is what was happening. You know what I mean? I'm not excusing their behavior by saying, like, she's asking for it. But in quite a literal way, it was being asked for. I mean, it was, right? I mean, that was the point of the thing. I guess I don't understand. Well, and so I guess here's the thing, though. So I looked into this, right? Because I looked into it. And, you know, I read someone's opinion that was like, it was a woman and it was a black woman. And she's like, well, this is very racially stereotyping. Most of the catcallers were not white, which the producers of the video disagree with. But, you know, well, the producer of the video, I believe, said, you know, there's these two guys that follow her for an extended time in the video. And he said, well, it appears like it's more skewed towards non-whites because the majority of screen time is non-whites doing the catcalling. However, there were white people doing the catcalling and their faces were blurred, so it's hard to tell. And this other person kind of said, well, it seems to be mostly non-whites and you're kind of setting up this narrative of like, white women are in peril from non-white men. And, you know, I was like, well, I guess, I don't know. I guess that's a whole nother issue, and that I feel even less qualified to talk about that. But, you know, what I'm saying is I looked into it. And so what I looked into, because here's the biggest thing I have with this kind of material. I'm a solutions-based thinker. I know this about myself. When someone tells me something, I start thinking of how to solve the problem. I am not saying that is a good thing. In fact, I think it's a bad thing. Because more often than not, I think someone wants to talk to you about a problem or something difficult they see, and they're not looking for you to say, do this, do that, I have a solution. And most of the times, when you offer someone a solution, they've tried it, because they're not fucking idiots. But the problem I have with something like catcalling, like this video, is I say, okay, I do think catcalling's bad. I think it's wrong. I think there is a group of people who are doing it. I think that it would be great to stop this. What I don't know is what to do. And I really struggle with that. And I know it's because I feel like people would put this out kind of saying, like, we're raising awareness, we're, you know, educating people that this is real. And the problem I have with that is, like, I don't think the people who need to see this will. I really don't. I don't think that these construction guys who are catcalling are going to be like, oh, shit, that's embarrassing. Well, now I understand how this woman feels, because... And the reason I say that is because I feel like in 2014, if you're still catcalling a woman, like, have you not? There have been probably many chances to avail yourself of this. And I gotta believe, if you're the kind of guy who catcalls a woman walking down the street, that this sort of behavior in this vein has gotten you in trouble more than one time. Like, you've probably experienced some kind of consequence in your life, I would hope, by now. You know, and like, okay, if I was a boss somewhere, if I had employees, and I saw some, you know, sexist behavior going on, there's no fucking way I'd let that shit happen. No way. Or, you know, if I was with my friends and someone catcalled one of my friends, I'd be like, hey, don't be an asshole. Am I going to fist fight a guy? No. If I was with, and I said this before, if I was with a group of my friends and one of my friends catcalled somebody, I would probably tell them, hey, that's not cool. You know, I would be pissed off about it. I would. But I don't interact with the kind of people who do that shit, because I, you know, self-select friends. And I think one of the categories that I have for friends is they're not fucking shitheads. So I don't know what to do about it. And at the end of this particular video, you're linked to a website, and the website seems primarily geared towards donations. Donate money to this. And here's what we'll do. Oh, they have like seminars to train people on how not to be sexist, I guess. There wasn't a lot of like concrete, here's what we're doing. Like, to me, it felt very much like they're raising money for their organization. For what? I don't know. And that bothers me. Like, I don't feel like when I kick in 10 bucks to this organization that I don't feel good about that making a positive difference in catcalling. I don't. You know, I think it's a problem, because I think that a lot of these issues don't have a direct solution. You know what I mean? It's kind of, because now I heard this interesting interview. Many of you know that I'm a big fan of the author Chuck Palahniuk, and he just recently did this interview because, you know, his new book deals with some sort of feminist issues. And the interviewer was saying, like, this seems to have come at like a really good time in that a lot of this stuff is going on. And he was like, oh, I don't really participate in those discussions. Like, I'm not part of internet discussions at all. And, you know, his kind of thing was he'd given the manuscript to some women, some older women, some younger women who worked at his agent's office or whatever, and had them read it. And they had sort of similar, you know, they had good reactions overall to it. You know, and he had them read it to kind of say, like, what do you think? And in the discussions with some feminists he's had, or, you know, just women, let's just call them women. In the discussion he had with some of these women, you know, he kind of felt like, and they expressed to an extent that there's kind of a problem with feminism now. Not a problem with feminism. Before, back in the day, there were kind of these big milestones, right? Like getting a vote, getting equal this, you know, getting, I mean, now it's like you can't not hire someone because they're a woman, right? Like there are these big things that have happened and these big steps we've made. And I do agree that, you know, things are not equal, but I think they're improving. And I think they have come a long way, you know, in the last century or whatever, you know, even the last probably half century, I think things have come a long goddamn way. Considering that we're dealing with people and how difficult it is to get people to change their minds about shit, I think we've made a lot of progress. I'm not satisfied. I'm not saying give up. But here's, I think, what he said, and here's kind of, and I kind of agree. At one time, there were these sort of big milestones, and that gave a big sort of rallying point. Because you could say, like, hey, women aren't allowed into the Air Force Academy. That's bullshit. Let's make that happen. And then you make that happen, and you've got the next sort of thing. And I think that sort of thinking really appeals to me because it's like that solutions-based thing, right? Because to me, it's like, here's a problem. You got a problem. Yo, I'll solve it. And maybe it's not that easy, and maybe it takes a lot of time. But I think having a direct goal that you're working towards helps. You know, when you have something on the books and you're like, okay, now women can go into space. You know, we've gotten past the idea that a woman can't be a firefighter. Like, that's over. Or she can't be a police officer. Or, you know, that kind of stuff, right? It's not illegal to breastfeed in public. That kind of shit. So we've gotten a lot of that bullshitty shit out of the way, and things are better. Not perfect, better. But now the issues, I think, are a lot more complicated because they're not sort of milestone-y. There's not catcalling, it's not like it's going to say, oh, now catcalling is over. We'll never be able to say that because how will you, all it takes is one idiot to catcall and it's back, right? It doesn't go away. Or like, you know, okay, breastfeeding in public is legal, but you know, I guess some people will tell you that they've been made uncomfortable to breastfeed in public, which I'm sure they have. How do you stop that? I don't know. You know, you can stop this one guy or woman who's doing it, but you cannot like wipe that out as a problem, right? You can't sort of say it's now today we know that the last person who is uncomfortable with public breastfeeding is dead. And it gets to be in these complicated issues, too, because maybe someone doesn't like the public breastfeeding, but is otherwise a very good person. So you're like, ah, shit. And they're just of that opinion of like, it makes me uncomfortable. I just don't, whatever. And that makes it harder. It makes it harder because you're like, this is a guy that I could listen to and respect, but God damn it, how come he can't just come around on this one thing? But there's not like a law that makes that happen. It's a feeling. And like, we're kind of in this weird feeling zone. And I think a lot of different rights activists are going a lot of different directions. As far as there's not like one big goal. There's a bunch of small goals. And I think a bunch of the goals would kind of have the raising awareness idea. That's kind of the general feel of a lot of it is we're raising awareness about this and that. And I think that's the thing that I really, again, solutions-based, and I'm trying to get away from it, but raising awareness just doesn't feel like a thing to me. It doesn't feel like I'm doing anything. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's, you know, part of my obviously apolitical sort of down on this whole idea feelings that cause that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's important that people know about this. And I do think it's important to put a face to it. And that's why I do think narrative is important. But also narrative is about telling what you want to tell and showing what you want to show. And narrative is highly manipulative. That's the point. That's the purpose of narrative. That's why you use narrative instead of an Excel spreadsheet. So I just want things to go I just want things to be more clear, and I want news to be news, and I don't want pseudo news, and I'm tired of, like, you know, Huffington Post puts up like some actual news, and then they put up a story that's just bullshit. You know what I mean? It's bullshit news. I saw this article and it was on Cosmo online. And like this, I guess maybe this was the last straw for me. It was an article about a woman, a graffiti artist, I'm going to call her a vandalizer. Because what she's been doing is going into national parks and drawing shit on rocks and that kind of thing in these beautiful vistas and these ancient, you know, natural scenes and doing street art on them, basically, if that's what you want to fucking call it. I don't really give a shit how beautiful the art is. That's not an issue to me. And I don't really care that it's like, oh, well, Banksy does it, so it's okay. I think that if you can't see the difference between, you know, spray painting an alley next to a shitty taco place and spray painting all over like a beautiful scene in nature, you are a fucked up person. You're a crazy person. So the article in Cosmo was pretty much just like, here's what happened, da 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 da. She posted on Instagram, someone ratted her out, which I was like, good for them. And then at the end it said, they don't know her whereabouts currently, but wherever she is, she's certainly inspiring girls to break some rules. And I was just like, what the fuck? Like that, it was so gross. You know what I mean? Like to turn this into an issue like that. And, you know, someone in the comments did say, like, that's where the Banksy thing came from. It's like, oh, well, how come Banksy can do it and she can't? And I'm like, that's the worst argument ever. But also, it's kind of like, I have this issue with that, you know, that bumper sticker that's like, rarely do well-behaved women make history. Like, I think that's true, but I think that also, you know, I guess if you don't think about it, it kind of just seems like, just behave like a shithead because you will make history, which is true. I mean, there are plenty of shitheads who've made history. I guess it just depends. Do you want to leave that as your legacy? Do you want that to be your legacy of like, well, this is a woman who made history and she's kind of a shithead. You know what I mean? I don't know. What she's doing, I feel like, is ruining something for a lot of other people. A street artist, to me, is taking something that's not nice and making it nicer or interesting. Like, I don't consider someone who just tags an underpass, just writes like a shitty name you can't read. That, to me, is not street art. That's just tagging territory. I mean, someone tagged the dumpster at my apartment. And I was like, so can I throw my trash in here? Is this, you're saying you want, are you claiming the trash? Are you claiming the dumpster so that I cannot throw trash in here? I'm not really sure what you're saying. Or just the area and you chose to tag the dumpster because you've got low self-esteem. I'm not sure. I guess to me, and you know, you don't see a street art, you know, Banksy hangs his own paintings in a museum. What he doesn't do is smash a hole in the Mona Lisa and then put his own painted face over it, right? I mean, it's not the same thing. To me, it's just not the same thing. And it just makes me mad because I feel like Cosmo, I mean, not that this is a responsible magazine on any level, but they just like put it out there of, hey, this is a woman who's breaking the rules. Can't people just be fucking nice to each other already? Good God. And yeah, if you do a great painting, I will enjoy it. If you do good street art, I will probably enjoy that too. If you do a great or a shitty painting in a national park, man or woman, I'll probably be pissed off about it. Like if Banksy did that, I'd be like, what a fucking asshole. Paint something all over the Grand Canyon or something, I'd be like, well, he's kind of being a dick. Right? I don't think I would be respectful of that. I don't know. Is that? I feel like I've just yelled forever at no one. But I think I've had all this stuff boiling inside. You know, I'm just tired of the politics. I hate voting season because it just brings up all this shit. I am very frustrated by movements where I don't feel like there's a positive impact to be made or a step to be taken. Like, all this stuff is just kind of killing my soul a little bit. And I think that's why I want to take a break from the Facebook. And I know it's like a real... Usually when people announce they're taking a break from the Facebook, it's like, ugh. Yeah, well, we'll see you in a week. But, you know, I'm going to try. It shouldn't be this hard, right? But I guess it sort of is. I think what I need to do is change my password to like a random string, write it on a paper and put it in a drawer. And then, you know, sign out so that I have to re-sign in. And then that maybe will change. Make it so I don't just tap the thing on the phone and go there. So you'll probably still see some updates because I'll still be tweeting a little bit. I mean, Twitter, I just kind of tweet. I don't really read tweets anymore, which is sad. Sometimes, if I'm taking a dump, I'll read a tweet here and there. But anyway, so you'll still see some shit. And if that's how we interact primarily, I apologize. You know, I apologize that I won't be on there as much. And I hope to, you know, like once a week go in and clean up any notifications just because, you know, and I like to see people's successes. That's, I think, the sad part is, you know, I have lots of friends who write and get things in different magazines and I like seeing that. Like, that really makes me feel good. That makes me feel really good and it makes me happy and I'm happy to see people sharing their successes and the great things they've done. I love seeing everybody's Halloween costumes. I like this stuff. I like seeing what you guys are doing. I like seeing when you guys are happy. Or, you know, I like being supportive when you're unhappy. I just feel a little frustrated by what I feel is like a giant faceless issue that I can do nothing about. You know what I mean? And I understand that that's probably exactly how catcalled people feel. And I respect that. And... I respect that people are trying to change it. You know, I might not agree with what they're doing, and I respect the effort that they're making to try and change something. I do. I really do. I think that I'm glad that they're at least fucking trying. How do I feel about the people who respond to it? Not as good. You know, not as, when I see it linked, I guess I just don't feel it's as powerful as somebody writing about their own experience or talking about their own experience or just sharing in a few words their own experience, because that's someone I fucking know. And then that matters to me. You know, it makes me more upset to hear that someone I know and care about goes through this than to watch some stranger do that. And, you know, to have to question the motives behind this video that's asking for donations for this thing that I've never even heard of. But, you know, and it's one of you, one of the people that I care about, then I know it's not that. I know that you are trying to make things better. Okay. Well, I promise that our next show will be a little more fun. I've got some pretty good shows lined up. You know, we've had the long-awaited racist podcast episode where, you know, we'll see if our podcast is really as racist as it appears. I bought a great game called Gender Bender, the game of role reversal that promises to be very sexist and fun, and was kind of how I wanted to deal with all this sexist stuff, but then I just started spouting off at the mouth. I hope I didn't piss anyone off. You know, it's difficult to listen to this, I understand, because probably if you're this far, you're sitting at home thinking, well, I disagree because of this, this, and that, and you're probably not wrong at all. But, you know, I talk into a microphone for an hour and then I feel better. So I guess I hope that when I talk into a microphone for an hour and you listen to it, you feel better, not shittier. And if you feel shittier, you know, when we get these episodes where I just yell about stuff, just turn them the fuck off and come back to something else. But, you know, I think our next like three episodes are pretty comedy based. So thanks for letting me have my crazy fucking time, and we'll see you next time. We'll